Oh, Ponks. When will my Harpoon magazine arrive? 3 hours I've been sitting here by the fire, and it still hasn't come. Ah, well. Suppose I'll have to read last week's issue again.
Postie! Magazine!
They're all at last. I couldn't have waited a second longer. Jiminy Jaspers, what an issue! That good old front cover, with its spiffing whaling ship braving the briny, valiant oilskin sailors greasing their harpoons and dreaming of blubber. Oh, I can't wait to get reading this one. Here goes.
The sea blows!
All aboard for this week's edition of the Harpoon. A magazine for young and old across the English-speaking world, with 6 color plates and numerous black and white illustrations. Price 7 pence halfpenny net, and available throughout the empire. All rights reserved. Our editor chats.
Hello there. Your old chum, the editor, again. And a hip, hip harpooners, wherever you are. Well, what a bumper issue we've got for you this week. I can promise you a stirring tale of kidnap, chalk, and cockney slang in our splendid new serial, Meadowfield's Maisie. Bertie the Hobby Horse is back with the next piece of your free cut-out gift. Plus, whaling for the under-fives with Captain Bonnet. And, of course, the Harpooners Club. A potpourri of puzzles, pranks, posers, and engineering hints. Now, don't forget we're giving away a brand new electric pocket light with bullseye attachment to the first reader who spots this week's mystery object. A loom, which is hidden somewhere in the issue. That's a loom. Oh, and remember, next week's edition is enclosed free with this one. So, a double feast of facts and fun. One last thing. Have you got yourself a gun yet? No? Well, guns can be pretty
The Harpoon How-To. The Reverend A. Morris, author of How to Build a Wheelbarrow, How to Build a Sledge, How to Build a Chicken Coop, How to Build a Workbench, How to Build a Lectern, How to Build a Goose Restrictor, and How to Build a Wig, this week tells us how to build something.
How to build a garden pond for profit and pleasure. Good afternoon. A well-made pond can provide years of harmless pleasure and not a little profit. And today I'm going to show you how to build one.
Plate one. A garden pond.
And there it is. For the correct dimensions, see figure one below. At this stage, we have a small but perfectly formed...
Figure one. 3 foot 6 inches by 2 foot 4 and a half. Divided by 1 3/7 of a hectare, 2 chains from top to bottom.
Circle of liquid, guaranteeing years of non-stop entertainment and pleasure. And now for the profit.
Figure 2.
A small sign strategically placed nearby with pond for sale painted on it will ensure a tidy profit should a passing traveller spot it and think, goodness, how I yearn for the simple joy of a garden pond. Oh, tadpole, frog, and minnow, and thou yon mollusk, back.
Page 4, Meadowfield's Maisie, an exciting new serial featuring the adventures of Maisie Drummond, working class pupil at the Meadowfields Academy for Young English Women.
By Della Vigilante Hill, authoress of She Skated Till She Dropped.
Part the first, the Chapel Bell Mystery. Maisie, a 14-year-old from the East End of London with a passion for fretwork and mystery, has won a scholarship to the most exclusive academy in England. But by the end of her first week, she finds herself plunged into a network of intrigue. After prep, Maisie settles down in the common room to write home and tell all her news.
Dear Mater and Pater, I'm in such a 2 and 8. This first week has simply flown by, and you won't Adam and Eve what's happened. Some of the girls are decent cos, but most are horrid because I'm a cockney. I said Mum's always entertaining MPs and judges and heaps of peelers, but they wouldn't listen. Oh, Peter, I'm sorry. I got cross with you at the railway station. Only I'd set my heart on a pony.
Cheer up, Maisie. I may not have bought you a pony, but I'll got you someone just as good.
Peter, you two-foot rule. I can't enter the gymkhana on Ted the Milkman's old nag.
Nonsense, girl. There's nothing wrong with old Crooked Milko. He may only have three legs, but his dressage will knock their brains out. Here, I'll put him in your trunk. Now, go on, hurry up now. Don't want to miss your train.
So, you be the new girl, eh, Missy?
Not half. I could have lots of larks and wheezes in the old china, and I shouldn't be surprised if you ended up arrested. You're so shabby and poor.
No more than my sort deserve, Missy. Can I give you a bit of advice?
What's that?
Stay away from the village.
But why?
Well, there'll be a lot of unshaven men about with cloth caps, enormous facial scars and binoculars. Loading things into the backs of vans.
Struth, you're right. Look, two ugly men with distorted visages and field glasses looking well suspicious in a secluded lane.
Never mind them now, miss. Look, the towers in Meadowfields be peeping through the trees.
Blooming heck, right, I'm a better.
Here, you'll see better through these.
Hello, are you the new girl sobbing alone in the dorm because you're a cockney at the end of your first day at Meadowfields?
Yes, suppose I am, Squire. Who are you?
Princess Tarin of Abadab. My father's a millionaire and I keep getting kidnapped. I heard you hadn't any ballet shoes, so I whittled you a pair out of my spare lacrosse racket.
Oh, gosh, Tarin Wizzo.
Baffling but bona fide. Fascinating facts at the foot of the page.
Did you know that the stickleback has CK twice in its name?
Now you have a friend. I shall give you bags of advice, and later on we'll share some fudge in the dorm.
Ah! Tarin? Tarin! Stone the crow, she's only blooming vanished, Governor.
Good show, girls! Take a breather!
I say, Drummond! Bit of a stink about our Levantine playmate, what?
I should, Coco. Poor Tarin.
We're the 8 Mildreds, by the way.
8 Mildreds?
Yes. Well, there's 8 of us in the same form, and we're all called Mildred. Rip comes fifth, eh? Oh, and this is our rotund chum, Bertha. She's fat with glasses and she likes jam tarts, but she's a good egg, really.
I say, poor Tarin. Beastly wash...
It's not just Tarin, you know. 16 other girls have gone missing from the school in the last fortnight alone. Whoops. Keep mum. It's the headmistress, Miss Snape.
Now gather round, girls. Pay attention. I have to announce that not only has Princess Tarin once again gone missing, but also the chapel bell is not working. It is strictly out of bounds. And if any girl is seen in its vicinity, either by myself or our swarthy caretaker, she will be mercilessly punished.
I say, chums, why don't we roam around the school grounds later on with a torch, looking for footprints?
Rather, count us in.
Yeah, we creep past the cucumber frames and through the school gates, we'll reach the spot where I clocked those disfigured footpads. Scrimmage, the gate's locked. How are we going to get through?
Look. If you fasten all our spectacles together, they'll make a stepladder.
Good thinking, my octet of drums. Right, follow me. Engine file. Pull it off. Watch out. Right, here we are. Look, there's a shadowy figure wandering in front of the chapel in a dazed manner.
It's Tarin.
Speak to us, Tarin. For God's sake, blab.
Binoculars.
Look. Abdul, the Arab caretaker, emerging in a guilty manner from the chapel and scurrying across the quad.
And carrying binoculars and a huge crate marked Saudi Arabia with a school tie and a blonde pigtail hanging out.
What can it all mean?
So, what have we here? A gaggle of midnight snoopers.
Miss Snape!
And in a yashmak. Well, Daddy... No wonder the chapel bell wasn't working. Apparently, Tarin had been lashed to the clapper. But who by, and why had they released her? And what kind of school maintenance was Abdul carrying out with his huge crate? What of the 16 girls still missing, the strange van loadings in the village, and all the binoculars? Strange that at such a time Miss Snape should be frivolously experimenting with Middle Eastern fashion. Love a duck, Pater. What a big, juicy mystery to get my Hampstead Heaths into. Well, better get off and practice on Crooked Milko. It's the Gymkhana next week.
What a mystery indeed. And in next week's thrilling episode of Meadowfield's Maisie, Bertha has a sensation. The sixth form slools pay a visit to the quiet, sleepy village of Slumber-on-the-Chintz and discover an evil world of swearing and cigarettes.
Cormorants for health, vigour and happiness. Now in king size a new filter tips. Guaranteed high tar for clear lungs and fresh breath. Ah.
Doors to the future. Visions of the years ahead with Dr. Mortimer Bibb.
Hello. The future is a truly exciting place to visit. Today, let's open the door marked 1968, shall we? And here we are, on the edge of a broad wooden road called a motorway. It's of sturdy oak construction with solid joists of finest larch. Goodness me, what a long, sleek silver motor car. A perfect example of the sort of supersonic vehicle the people of the 1960s will be driving. Why, even the crank handle's silver-plated.
Hello, would you like to come and visit my house?
Why, thank you. I'd be intrigued.
Jump in, then.
And here we are in the geometric bungalow of Mrs. ZBX, and we're about to tuck into a typical 1960s meal.
Here we are.
Mmm, my favourite, lamb chop.
Not quite. You see, all food today is in tablet form. It may look like a lamb chop and be exactly the same size and shape, but it's really just a tablet.
Ingenious. And all these long yellow rectangles shaped like chipped potatoes?
Aren't chips at all. They're pills in chipped potato form.
Remarkable.
You're learning, Doctor.
And why the spherical glass helmet?
It's for going into space, silly. That's where I work.
Goodness me, what advances. And what do you do in space?
A little light dusting. Before you go, would you like to listen to some music?
Rather.
Here, by pressing this button, I can make our huge white Bakelite phonogram emerge from the wall. And now for some of the very latest in 1960s electronic tunes.
Could you, Charles the Ribby?
Well, certainly makes the bunny hop sound old-fashioned.
And while the band's playing that, open your door, around we'll go, together we'll show.
Wonders of Nature.
The life cycle of the Celtic bog fly.
Drawn by Miss Valerie Hastings.
Figure one, the fly is born. Figure two, the fly makes its first tentative flight. Figure three, the fly comes to the end of its life cycle.
Next week, the life cycle of the Dutch clog, drawn by Rachel Froth.
Grewy's smart military moustache with Dixon's guaranteed moustache forcer. Boys, become men with this secret preparation easily applied. Detection impossible. Sent in a plain envelope for 1 3.
My upper lip was naked for years.
Rights facially astute Q Snatch of Socky Hill Street, Glasgow. Send now for further particulars to J. Dixon, the Slaughterhouse, Wimbledon. Pads and strapping not included.
The Mystery Object. A loom. A loom.
Harpoon Centre Pages.
Big-hearted, bearded harpoon hobby horse here with this week's section of your cut-out-and-keep construction.
Ooh, now then.
Today, the upper section of your host house. Now, cut along the thick vertical and horizontal lines opposite.
Right then.
until the whole rectangle, 30 yards by 28, is removed from the book.
If I could just tuck this, there's something wrong here.
Ah, now, there's one thing I should have mentioned earlier. Don't attempt to build this host house indoors.
No. Bonks!
Warned you.
True Life Tales.
I packed my linen trousers in search of the legendary white natives of Arambaya.
Being extracts from the journal of Edmund Colt, author of No More Dogs and Darjeeling with Black Dick. Illustrations by A.A. Spence.
Day 38. Mkango Town, Waun Province. My quest in search of the legendary white natives of Arambaya has taken something of a sorry turn. We, that is, oneself and Watumbi, my talented but inexpensive jungle guide, arrived here on the 15th, planning to rest overnight before pressing northwards. Watumbi, whom I had hired only 2 days earlier, was telling me of his breathtaking ancestral tracking skills and an uncanny ability to hear vibrations from over 30 miles away through his heels when, horror of horrors...
Plate 1. Colt stared in anguish as his guide stepped under the trolley bus.
That was 3 weeks ago, and Watumbi's earlobes have yet to heal. Meantime, I busy myself by learning Togolese and polishing my Swiss knife. Day 60. Deepest Kabuli jungle. Do you know nature's an incredible thing? Today at noon, the most exquisite pato bird flew up and out of a clump of zeta trees. Its scarlet body plumage and cobalt wings flashed plangent hues above the azure waterway. A miracle of God's fair hand. As my bullet caught it in the midriff, the bird exploded with a screech. Wings flew one way, feet the other, and innards sprayed in all directions like a huge purple liquid firecracker. Lunched on pato puri. Day 80. A momentous encounter. At last, we come face to face with our first legendary white native of Arambaya. Odd blighter. Tried to persuade us he was English. Accent was good, but the pith helmet and plus fours weren't fooling anybody. He refused our offers of trinkets and kept saying his name was Reggie. Naturally, I shot the man. Watumbi brewed up a pot of lapsang souchong, and we chatted and watched Reggie's death spasms as the sun went down. Day 92. Disaster. Haven't time to write much now, owing to the most dreadful unforeseen calamity. Besides, the boiling water in this pot starts to wash away my words. A few minutes ago, poor Watumbi's head disappeared from view. Perhaps it is right that I record for posterity his last utterance. Master, there may be pygmy cannibals near...
Here the journal of Edmund Colt ends. In next week's edition, we commence a new serial, In Search of Edmund Colt, by Selsdon Mace, author of Too Soon for Oysters, Laughter in the Gallery, and Blood, Guts, and Muffins. Comic Corner.
Here, how much you charge for pulling out a tooth, Mr. Dentist, sir?
1 shilling and 5 shillings with gas.
5 shillings with gas? Then I'll come back tomorrow when it's daylight.
From A to Z with Nurse Dennis.
An alphabet of universal knowledge, from angina to Zulu's removal of. This week, the letter G, with help from Little Bobby.
Hello, my dear yous. Well, have we got some fascinating letter Gs for your good selves. First off...
Giblets, uses of...
Yes, giblets. Excellent for soups, stews, and raw as a light mid-morning snack. Also ideal in the treatment of schizophrenia.
The galaxy.
Yes, the galaxy. Any of a vast number of star systems held together by gravitational attraction. No use whatsoever.
Glens enlarged.
Unfortunate bodily swellings. To be rid, simply paint them so they look smaller. A technique that can be applied to measles, humps, and superfluous limbs.
Boys of Other Lands. Number 113. Italy.
Buongiorno.
Photograph A. Hinckley, Bologna, 31st of the 7th.
G.
Giuseppe, shown above in his large floppy hat, brightly embroidered waistcoat and roomy goatskin breeches, is clearly a happy-go-lucky sort of fellow. Terribly poor, he nevertheless remains a jolly and charming chap, though like most of his countrymen is lazy, unwashed, duplicitous, brutal, and girls a touch too keen to get his slimy little paws on the contents of your bodice. But what a hat.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci, Giuseppe.
Next week, the Cayman Islands.
New development of exquisite townhouses for sale. Well-appointed, genteel, affording splendid vistas of adjacent deer park. Clearly an area for your future generations. Mr. J. Brown welcomes viewers at 93 Burma Crescent, Toxteth.
The Healthy Harpooner.
Fun and games in the swimming bath.
Miss Winifred Gibson, sports instructress for Margate Young Ladies Correctional Facility, gives us hints on enjoyment in the water. Demonstrations by girls of the Carshalton Breaststrokers.
50 years ago, few girls were able to swim.
Baffling but bona fide. Fascinating facts at the foot of the page.
Did you know that Dick Powell, the motion picture performer, started off in a quite different profession?
But nowadays, the empire is veritably stuffed with baths where a girl can give up her young, fresh, supple frame to the moist grip of an icy pool. The exhilarating company of other fillies rubbing each other down with coarse manila towels, soaking up the earnest teenage sweat which trickles down there. Today, we look at diving. Ready, girls?
Ready, Miss Gibson.
Mary, show us a hunch jump, will you? Letitia, an aeroplane dive, please. Amy, a clap hands, Charlie. And finally, Ruby, a St. Bernadette with swallowtail straddle. Super! Super jump! Note especially the way she tucked those chaste little thighs up to her tiny blossoming chest in serene vaginal poise, spreading her lovely, white, pure...
Miss Gibson?
Yes?
Miss Winifred Gibson?
Yes.
I am PC Poon of the Harpoon District Constabulary, and I must request you to accompany me to the station on a charge that you did on the 11th of this month...
Get off me! Get off! You're absolutely no right! Go!
Make it hard on yourself, Miss Gibson.
Right. Who's for a snog, then?
Oh, my goodness. I told that lad not to play lacrosse indoors.
Ho, ho, mum. Fooled you. It was just my smashing fun broken window simulator. The latest wizard gag from Stonko Products. Ho, 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 ho.
Yes, send now for the Smashing Fun Broken Window Simulator, an uncomplicated but ingenious device consisting of a 10-foot by 6-foot sheet of plate glass, which when simply dropped onto a hard surface will shatter loudly as if a large window has just been broken. Send 5 pence for catalogue to Stonko Products, formerly Braithwaite's Glassworks Limited, Richmond, Yorkshire.
Harpoon back page.
Yes. Lastly this week, as always, it's your chum, the editor, with the Harpooners Club.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way. Who's been...
First off, in lighter mood. More examples from my purse bag of genuine real-life humour sent in by fellow harpooners in a spirit of merriment and jollity. Dear editor.
Dear editor. I was once on an omnibus travelling from Marble Arch to Tooting. The conductor sneezed in the most comical way. I suppose you had to be there, really, but believe me, the whole bus was shaking with laughter. It quite took our minds off the fact that war had broken out minutes earlier. Yours sincerely, Jaime Tool, Clapham.
What a bumper crop of risibility. Keep them coming in, and remember, a prize of a 5-shilling postal order will be forwarded to the submitter of the most jocular and waggish storyette. Now, answers to last week's posers.
Number 1, Berlin divided by 3/4. Number 2, the Emperor Nero's ears. Number 3, allowing 9% erosion and nil humidity... It would take the cat 11 years, or 9 minutes with a chisel.
Now for this week's puzzle. Here are two scenes drawn from everyday life. At first glance, they appear identical. But stop. Look closer. There are several subtle differences cunningly concealed. How many can you spot?
A first-class ticket to Camberley, please.
Certainly, sir. Thank you, sir. You've tendered the exact amount, rendering it unnecessary to convey any change to you.
Now, here's the second one. Can you tell the difference?
A first-class ticket to Camberley, please.
Certainly, sir. Thank you, sir. You've tendered the exact amount, rendering it unnecessary to convey any change to you.
The cheese now standing at platform 4 is the 11:53 to Olliedge, calling at County Hentrim, the Northwest Passage, Venus, and Olliedge.
Ha! Did you spot them? Next, query corner. Answers to your questions from around the world. F. Spicer, Lagos, Nigeria, I suggest you hold it firmly by the tail with your right hand, then pull hard with the left until the head comes clean away. Otherwise, use a gun. John Bucket, Newbury, Barcher, this sort of, nervousness is most unhealthy. Keep your fingers busy with fretwork or whittling. Cold showers are useful, apparently. Dixit, Chandrapur, Southern India. Biscuits, lad, biscuits. Master M. Gandhi, Calcutta, India. Fascinating theory, Mahatma, but I doubt it'll catch on. Get yourself a gun, lad. S. Hopper, Binsville, Van Diemen's Land. Mercury and diced leather? No, no, no. Ground glass and urine. A. Wankwe, 14 Tongdun Crescent, Shanghai, North Province, China. No. Farmer B. Cottesloe, Pembroke, Wales. Milk is a white, nutritious substance produced by practically all female mammals. It's been a useful product of certain dairy beasts for many thousands of years, and frankly, I'm flabbergasted that you've never heard of it. And finally, Master A. Hitler, Wiesenschaft, Austria, I do not recommend that you continue painting, as your enclosed samples, I'm sorry to say, showed little promise. Why not try some other hobby? Say, public speaking. Few guns might be handy. Well, I'm afraid that's all for this week, so here's a hearty cheerio from everyone here at the gaslit offices of The Harpoon. Enjoy your free issue, won't you? There are some thrilling articles about poultry, courting tips from Edward Fondle, and some highly detailed diagrams explaining how you can learn to throw your voice. Well, this is your old chum, turning down the lamp on his roll-top desk, reaching out for his silver-topped walking stick, and saying, Imperatus Foundationis Blubberum. Hip, hip.
Who's been polishing the sun, rubbing out the clouds of grey? They must have known just how I like it. Oh, oh, come on, let's go.
The Harpoon is printed and published weekly by the proprietors, London W1. The magazine was penned by Julian Dutton and Peter Bainham. The characters were lavishly depicted by Susie Bran, Alistair McGowan, Mary Elliott Nelson, Peter Bainham and Julian Dutton. The Harpoon was produced on stretched goat's vellum by Sarah Smith. All rights reserved.
Everything's coming my way. Polishing the sun, they must have known just how I like it. Everything's coming my way.
Ah.
And now your next issue free.
The Sea Blow!
All aboard for this week's edition of the Harpoon. A magazine.
I think I'll save it for later. Time now for tea and giblet crumble.